greet all of you, those who have come just recently. Our Prahlada Nanda Maharaj is here to give pleasure to our heart. Welcome. It's so much nicer, no? It's not like the slum of the Balkans any longer. Good, so. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maharaj says the previous location was Yamaraj's domain, and this is Indra's domain. Hare Krishna. He has a very, very good sense of humor. Yes, some Yamanipur. So please play. See, can you be on? Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihadi Radha Madhava Gunya Vihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihadi Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhani Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhani Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihadi Jaya Prabhuparat 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 Sila Prabhuparat Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Gaura Nitai, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhata. Jaya Radha Gopinata, Radha Gopinata, Siradhe. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Paravaraja Kacharya Ashtato Sata Sisimati Stivaingre Sila Abe Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai Is Confounded Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namam Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Staya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiyami Namaste Dasaridhi. So Hare Krishna. The subject matter of this summer camp is to come closer to Krishna. Now obviously different lecturers and different presentations will approach this subject in their own way. In this Bhagavatam lecture, I would like to say that it is through devotees and their kind help that we come closer to Krishna. And in this lecture, I would like to explore first the Shastric instructions on devotee Sangha. Then I would like to talk about practical applications of Rupa Goswami's shloka, Dadati Pratigrinati, what devotees do to have association. And then I want to talk about the problem that often makes devotee association not that what we hear the Shastras praising about and how to overcome this problem. Good. We have taken to just give you a little contextual understanding here. When I made a thorough study of the 11th canto, I came upon a section, it's in the 26th chapter, where Lord Krishna speaks personally his heart to Uddhava about the necessity and the advantages and benefits of having devotee association. So from that section, I would like to start this presentation. And I hope that there's something inspirational and also educational for each one of you. So let us start. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading this morning from the 11th canto, 26th chapter, verse 33. Anam hi praninam prana atanam saranam tvaham dharamo vitang ninam pretya santo avak bipyato ranang anang hi praninang prana atanam sharanam tvaham dharmo vitang ninang pretya santorvak bibhyato ranang anang hi praninang prana atanang sharanang tvaham dharmo vitang ninang pretya santorvak bibhyato ranam please someone else. Thank you very much. Matajis, please. Praninam of living entities, pranaha, the very life, atanam of those who are distressed, sharanam, the shelter, to and aham, I, dharamaha, religion, vitam, the wealth, rinam, of men, pretya, when they have passed away from this world, santaha, the devotees, arvak, of going downward, bipyataha, for those who are fearful, aranam, the refuge. translation. I'm going to make you a little music here. Just as food is the life of all creatures, just as I am the ultimate shelter for the distressed, and just as religion is the wealth of those who are passing away from this world, so my devotees are the only refuge of persons fearful of falling into a miserable condition of life. Purport. It's a very brief purport. Those fearful of being dragged down by material lust and anger should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees, who can engage one safely in the Lord's loving service. So sorry, just I'm so sorry, really. Yes. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya de Satadine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Again Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There are three examples given by Lord Krishna which point out the amazing benefits which can be had by devotional association or association with devotees. My dear devotees, what you are about to hear is a sincere attempt to help all of us to make the Sangha of Association of Devotees a very encouraging place. It is there is so much benefit in it, as you will see it, if it is properly done. But there is so much of a hurt which happens if one does not consciously enter this powerful, most powerful way of coming closer to Krishna. So I need to first of all speak about Krishna's perspectives about a healthy association of devotees. And for this part, I need your absolute concentration. It is, I know some of us don't read regularly, so we are, when we hear Shastric texts, we go, whew, what was that? But you can do it. You are intelligent people. You focus, please, a little in the first part. I will entertain you in the second part, but the first part, I need you. You need to do some work here. Good. Krishna gives three examples. How necessary association of devotees is. His first example is just like food is absolutely necessary to sustain the life force in all living entities. Just like Krishna is the ultimate address for those who are distressed. And just as Dharma or religion, this is how it's translated here, is the wealth of those who are passing away from this world. In the same way, devotees are the only refuge of persons who are understanding Maya and who are afraid of Maya. I would like to express it like this. My dear devotees, the influence of the material energy is very, very strong. It is very hard to overcome it. You can't overcome this huge energy which works on our consciousness as Jiva Maya, and which works on our through the material elements and inflicts birth and death as gunamaya on the living entities. You can't overcome this very easy. Krishna says it's very hard, difficult, almost impossible to overcome it. Great yogis have tried, great religionists have tried, but it is sometimes said it's like a vast ocean which is very difficult to cross, this material energy, it's samsara. Very, very, very difficult, insurmountable, sometimes it is called. So Krishna, knowing this, speaks now emphatically. Emphatically means with some oomph, with some, yes, something in his heart. He feels about this. He feels, I need to say this for the souls to help them cross over this Maya. He says, an intelligent person should therefore take up the association of saintly devotees whose words cut off the excessive attachment to what? Of one's mind. Of one's mind. We are so attached to this body, so much attached to the mind. It's not done by, you don't overcome this by dressing in saffron or colored, or you wear dhoti and you say hello Haribol and no longer hello, and you don't listen to queens any longer, you listen to Hare Krishna kirtans. It's not that easy. The ocean is really very insurmountable, and it works in the form of many deviations and subtle imaginations on all of us. We need to be conscious about this. Now, in this text, the Lord says, in order to live, you need food, right? Do you agree with this? No, yes? Good. So in the same way, you need devotee association in order to live in Krishna consciousness. And when you are distressed and there's no one who will understand you, there's nothing which will protect you, at that moment There's only one person left. Do you know his name? Krishna. You know everything. Krishna, have you made experience in this life when suffering is just so difficult? For instance, when a beloved one passes away from the world, what do you do when your father dies or your mother or your child, and you are there on the deathbed and you are supposed to give to help? Where will you turn to? I was once with a dying person for 8 hours. I was there, and then the doctors came and said, sorry, it doesn't, sorry. And they went and switched off the one thing after the other, the artificial life. You know, and I said, please don't do this. Because I knew once the monitors are switched off, the person who was in coma will slip into death. And the doctor said, sorry, only God can help now. We can't help. And I said, okay. So we chanted for another 8 hours. Oh, Krishna, it was a fight. The person was struggling between life and death in his coma. Yes, only Krishna is the shelter for the ultimate shelter who is distressed. And when someone leaves this world, what is his wealth? What is it that he really can build up on? Dharma, yes. I have a very nice verse here. At the time of death, the wealth which you have collected stays in the safe place where you have stored it. At the time of your death, your cows and goats, this is for Serbian people, that were your own remain in their dwelling places. If you are married, at the time of death, your wife accompanies you up to the doorway. Friends and relatives come with you only up to the funeral ground. Your body comes with you only up to the funeral pyre. Then it is burned and leaves you also. The only time that will assist you during your funeral is your dharma. We in Krishna consciousness know dharma is composed of three essential elements. That is what you do to yourself, like follow principles in your life, regulative principles. It is what you dharma is your own purpose, what you can contribute to the world. Then that was Swadharma. Then comes dharma as just an ethical codex, how you act towards others. We are learning this at our house. There are three dogs who are very hungry always. They have nothing to eat. They are so emaciated, and they look at us with eyes. And of course, we share our prasadam with them. You know, this is ethical, to take care of others in need. And final aspect of dharma is Sanatana Dharma. You know, what you do in relationship to God. Dharma is in three relationships: to yourself, Swadharma, dharma as an ethical codex towards other living entities, and finally towards the Lord. That is the only thing which goes with you when you leave this life. So the devotees of Krishna help us in gaining our life force. It is said when one goes near to a fire, cold, fear, and darkness go away. In the same way, when one comes in the association of devotees, your dullness goes away. You become alert. You become conscious. I must make my human life into something which is not a failure. I must invest in my spiritual life as much as possible as I can. So your dullness goes away. The influence of your karma goes away in the association of devotees, because they will engage you in devotional service like chanting of the holy names. In other words, you will become free to move ahead with strength. And finally, the fear which you have of a samsara, that all goes away in the association of devotees. Because devotees, that's another, I'm just quoting verses from Prabhupada, but from Bhagavatam, but I'm saying it in modern language so that you will not fall asleep. The devotees give you eyes to see. They give you divine eyes. They are not like the sun, who only allows you an external sight. No, the devotees give you the eyes to see what is necessary to do in your Sanatana Dharma, in your relationship to Krishna. They try their best to help you to get your Swadharma, and they will correct you when you are acting unethically and so on. They help you to navigate your difficult path through this material world. Have you ever been lost in the darkness when walking? I think not all of us are moon children. Moon children are special gender. They like to walk in the night. So I can only say, yes, as a child I would walk in the night. I don't do it any longer so much. Only when I can't sleep. But when you are lost in the dark night, when you see somewhere a light, it is indicative of human civilization, and you're very happy to escape the dark forest or the wilderness. So when you come close to the fire, my dear devotees, in the dark night, then you see, you lose your fear. And if you're freezing cold, if that is the situation, you become warm. In the same way, when you finally find devotees of Krishna, then the material existence and its threatening influence on your consciousness, on the consciousness, goes away. No? The jiva maya and the guna maya recedes. In Lord Krishna's glorification of the devotees, he goes to a really strong extent. He says, "My devotee are one's real worshipable." It's plural. "My devotees are one's real worshipable deities. You should worship them. They are one's real family." This is something for this area. Family, 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 real family. "They are one's own self, and ultimately they are non-different from me." Because when you come to devotees, you're very close to Krishna. The way they act, the way they talk, it reminds you of, oh, there really is Krishna. Oh, he believes it. But then let me watch him. Is he, what a good example he gives in life. Oh, maybe I should follow this path also. No? When we see a sincere Vaishnav, we feel, Buddhidoba, you know, and we feel inspired. Yes. Krishna does not fail to mention the qualities of the devotees he talks about. You can't just be a pretender and to let me shave up and then I'm a devotee and anyone who comes to me must worship me, especially the young bhaktas. This won't work. You have to be, they are peaceful and they are fixed in the absolute knowledge. They are fixed, they are convinced. This is true. This is my life. And so on. When you meet such devotees, but if you meet other devotees who are on the path, you should be what is the English word? I don't know. You should be gentlemanly enough to try to help them in your best way. No, you should be kind. Kind is the word enough. Yes, devotee association works, but we all have a grave responsibility to make it work and not make it fail. And two things is, we should be a little peaceful, that is tolerant, even when something disturbs us, not become a non-gentleman. Then we should do live a knowledge, you know, live the scriptures, live the spiritual path, and share it with others. Then it works. Now this, I understand, is a little abstract for some of you, because you want to say, Maharaji, yes, we know the philosophy, but how will it work? Tell us something practical. Trying to do. The practical part comes now. Srila Rupa Goswami gives us a verse where he details six things which we do in the association of devotees. Of these six, I would like to highlight two, but let us first enumerate them. List them. It is giving prasadam and receiving prasadam. No, giving gifts and receiving gifts. That is the first two. It does not just refer to give some nice honey or cold pressed olive oil from the island of Hua. I understand there it's the best olive oil. Maybe others disagree, no problem. It's not just giving these gifts. Gifts, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is friendliness, time, you know, these immaterial gifts where you're there for someone. Then we come to the second pair. The second pair of devotion, the association, is to enter into a deep relationship with devotees by revealing your questions which are there on your mind and listening to them, how they will address these questions which are there. Now I have a devotee friend who, when we meet, we have a ritual. We ask each other, so what is your experience on the spiritual path? Please share. And then one talks about these more confidential things. And one asks, how do you see this? And the devotee will offer good advice. I see it like this and this. This could, my experience is, this helps very nicely, or this is an aspect. No? So sharing confidentially, that's the essence of this, opening yourself to the deeper questions, asking questions and talking like this, very important. If you can't do this with devotees, my dear devotees, you will be forced to do it with others, because we human beings look for closeness in relationships. That's how we are made. We are not islands. We are dependent on community, on others, on friends, and so on. So you have to see that you find such devotees where this is possible, and you have to, and you can see if you can maybe be such a devotee, where devotees like to come and they like to speak what they are, what is in their mind, because you know they know you won't take, you won't in the next minute call, put it on the internet or phone others. He said so and so to me. No, you keep it in confidence. No, maybe you can become such a devotee. And this third pair of things which devotees do is they give prasadam. Here, I came from Jagannath Puri or met someone from Puri. I have something. By the way, at the last day, I have something to you. I have water that washed the lotus feet of 1,000 plus devotees. It was the generation after Lord Chaitanya, very high class Mahabharat, Mahabhagavats, whose gurus were direct associates of Mahaprabhu. I have that water. Just recently before I came to Serbia, I got it. I will give it the last day, or I will ask someone to sprinkle you with that water. Yes. So let me now go a little bit into deeper relationships that will help us to have wonderful Vaishnav Sangha. You know, the spiritual perspective on people is we see what they do good. The material perspective on people is we see what they do, what is not yet good. In spiritual, this is a very nice, this subject comes up in the Kaliya Damana Leela. Krishna is confronting a conditioned soul of this world, Kaliya. And Kaliya, the snake, is highly envious at him. He tries to attack Krishna and embrace Krishna, not embrace Krishna, crush Krishna like a, you know, the pythons and boa constrictors do this. They wrap their body around their victim and then break their bones and strangle them. And Kaliya did this, wanted to do this with Krishna. And Krishna stayed for 48 minutes in the deadly embrace. So Sanatana Goswami comments is, Krishna thought in his mind, this he seems to love me. If someone embraces someone for a short time, he loves him a little bit. If he embraces someone for a longer time, he loves him more. But when he embraces him for a long time, he loves him very much. So Krishna thought, he took the good thing. He is embracing me. He had this perspective. This is this perspective of God. And if he would not have this perspective on us, what would be our chance? He sees the little thing which we do well, and he wants to that this is increasing. There's a wonderful prayer by Kaliya at the end when he has, you know, understood this, my Lord Krishna. He says, oh, we conditioned souls struggle so much with our conditioned nature. But fortunately, you don't look at that. You look at what we do good. This is, by the way, a principle which works also in education of children. If you have a child And you constantly get on the case of the child for all the things he does wrong, you know, eating wrong and smearing the food all over himself, screaming in every lecture and so on. And you constantly say, you will antagonize your child. But if you see whenever the child does something good, oh, how good you did this particular thing, then you increase the good. So in devotee association, we do not want to get into fault finding. We want to get into good finding. The good things finding. That is the spiritual perspective. And help people by focusing our attention on the good things to increase this. Have you heard this? Fan the spark of Krishna consciousness. Make it greater. Make it into a fire. Now, does this mean we should not correct when something is done wrong? Does this mean we should not at times speak strongly? No, it doesn't mean that. There is a time also for correcting. But in usual, when there are no grave faults, no heavy things, you know, don't look at the mistakes. But look at what is done good, and you will see a total change in the atmosphere. My dear devotees, I'm talking today to you as someone who was often in the Balkans preaching, who was there doing wonderful programs, wonderful projects by the help of so many of you, you know, who was asked to come again and again. Now I don't come again, don't come so often because my responsibilities have increased, but I still have great feelings for all of you. And please just hear me 10 seconds, 5 seconds. You must learn this simple thing and not criticize each other's. In Balkans, we like to talk. Our heart is directly on our tongue. Whatever we feel, that is what we say. Like children, we are like this in the Balkans. And often we talk things which are irresponsible, which are putting negative energy out, which are not encouraging anyone, which are discouraging everyone. And when people see that we are like this amongst ourselves, they say, we don't want to join this club. That is, they do the same thing as in the material world. Responsible talk, encouraging talk, Krishna conscious talk, very important, not prajalpa. And of all prajalpa, talking negative about others is the most disastrous poison which we can have. Now I know I talk with so much energy about this, but I know all of you, that's why you're here in the summer camp, are good devotees. You're not doing this. I know this. The ones who are not coming, they should hear this. I know this. But still, I want to make a point for your spiritual education so that you can maybe share it with those who need to hear it and tell them. Spiritual vision, if you want to be spiritualist, fan the spark, see what is good. We know this as preachers. When you have someone coming new to you, coming new to Krishna consciousness, then you have to see Where is the deeper part of this person? What is really his need, his existential need? Why has he come? What are his hopes that he has approached a spiritual movement like Krishna consciousness? And you have to see, you have to go there. You have to find that little thing which is alive in him, that little interest in Krishna consciousness, and fan then. And make that grow. By the way, this is works in this. I'm talking now about loving relationships, no? Love and trust. You've heard this word. We say like this. The Sangha should have this, no? This. And then, when you see something in others, express what you appreciate in someone. I see this very much in a God brother who is doing phenomenal preaching all over the world, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Whenever he comes together with anyone, he will try to see what is good in that person, and he will praise it. I must say, as his good friend, he sometimes praises me, and I didn't do that, what he said. It was someone else. And I say, Maharaj, please. You become so embarrassed. There you are before 1,000 people, and then you are said, this is Sachinandan Swami, the biggest book distributor of Germany. I said, Maharaji, I did 5 years of book distribution. Then I did translation of Prabhupada's book, and I was struggling like hell when I was trying to to distribute books. I mean, I did it, I forced myself, but it was not easy. I'm not a good book distributor. If you want to praise me, please try to find something which I don't see anything good in me. I can't give you any suggestion, but but he means well, and I know this, and I appreciate it very much that there's encouragement coming. It's just amongst friends they can talk like this. So express something what is real in others. Because everyone has the desire to be recognized for what they are. No, for what is important for them. Express something which is real. Don't just flatter like in the material society they do this, and it has become very modern. When you meet someone, you talk only nice things about them, and when they are gone, you talk something else. No, you don't talk these superficial niceties. You try to find out, what is he all about? I have found this out there was one devotee in the past, a God brother of mine, who really criticized me very strongly. Whoa, it was sometimes so tough. And then I thought, I mean, he's a devotee, he must have a point. And I began to I began to research, why is he doing this? He must be a nice person. I mean, and I understood he was genuinely concerned for Prabhupada's movement. And he was a conservative thinker, whereas I'm a little bit progressive by nature. I'm born under these stars. I can't change it. And he was really concerned. And I sat down with him and said, Prabhuji, I see you're really concerned about Prabhupada's movement. Yes, said the devotee. How do you see this? Well, I see in your life, I see in your preaching that you are really concerned. Oh, really? Yes, and I suggest, can't we talk about the points which you feel are not not appropriate. Can we not get together and talk about this and see? Well, he said, you're willing to do? Yes. I mean, that's the only way how we can solve it. If all the devotees quarrel amongst themselves, what will the younger do? So then we sat down, and I had a certain way of raising my arms during kirtans, which he did not appreciate. I stopped that, I'm trying to give an example. We could make it up. Try, when you associate with someone, not to immediately explode or react. Try to see what's the place they're coming from. And once you do this, you will immediately soften the tension between you, because the other person is a human being and wants to be recognized for his concerns, which are normally good, you know. Otherwise, devotees wouldn't go with them for a long time. So that's very important. Try to touch something which is real in your communication. And a good way to discuss on spiritual levels, ask, what are you interested in? What moves you? What is your deeper aspiration? And in which direction would you like to grow? This will help you a little bit. I plan to publish a book which will come up, which will come out when I'm dead. It will be, the title of the book is There Is No Death. I thought that's a nice way to say goodbye to people who loved you, to share some deeper insights to them. But it's good when you're, it's the last thing you can do. So I was, I was studying a little bit what helps a dying person when you are next to him. And it's a very amazing, at that moment, where everything falls away that is not important, and only the essence counts. The best way to help a dying person is to remind them what went well in their life. Oh, you visited many holy places. Wow, you had you observed festivals, and look at all your service which you did for Krishna, like this. And all of a sudden, it is seen, there is good statistics, I'm giving devotee examples, huh? Good statistic that even in the worst of tensions, when a person has physical pain and is not sure where he will go and so on, when you talk about what they did well or what are good experiences in their life, immediately they become peaceful and can live in peace. I once did this with a congregational member who couldn't die. He had been over a period of 5 years, he had been brought to the hospital because he was near death. But he always survived the hospital. And finally, his relatives came and said, our husband and our father cannot leave this world. He's so afraid of death that everything in him is activated to cling on to his miserable physical existence. You know, he was really suffering. Can you help? I said, what, you want me to help that your father can die? No, no, Swamiji. That he loses his fear. So I said, next time he's in the hospital, call me, I can try. So he went to the hospital. He was suffering like anything. Oh, was he suffering? And I said, so, can you hear me? And he became, I noticed there was a change in the atmosphere because he somehow loved me very much. He was not up to the level of initiation or giving vows, but he was very, very spiritually oriented and a good person who has financially helped a lot our movement and so on. Can you hear me? He was in that state where you don't know. If you can hear me, please raise your fingers. His hand went up like this. Okay, can we agree on one language? I said, when you agree, you raise your fingers. It's a yes. And I said, do you know that this is a that this might be your death this time? Hand went up. Do you know that you were 5 times committed to the hospital and the situation was like this? You know, he was an intelligent person, so you could talk with him. Hand went up. Then please listen. I'm your friend, you know this. I'm speaking out of affection to you. Please listen now. You don't need to be afraid of changing the body. Everyone changes their body. What will help you now is to move with your mind away from the strach, the fear, and remember the times in when you were before the deities. Remember all the support which you did. Remember the services you could do. Remember the times with devotees. And stay with that. And I talked on and on and on. And then I left. And I was in the car going, and his daughter, who is a doctor also, it was hardly 10 minutes. She was on the phone, she cried and cried and said, Swamiji, a miracle. What is the miracle? My father has left in peace with a smile. Wow, I said, it worked. This is at the deathbed, but the principle works in life. When you come into Sangha and you talk about the things which have strengths, the things with Krishna, we are part of Krishna, we belong to Krishna. Krishna is really there, not only for 1 hour in the lecture, and then we agree, and then the rest of the day we forget. He is there in every phase of the life. Is more real than what you think you are. If you talk like this amongst devotees and give hope, and then you have something to build on. Finally, I want to say on the practical note, in forgiveness, love shows its greatness. When you are affectionate with others, if you want to really show that you mean it, you have to forgive others. We have now a restaurant space and a preaching space in Zagreb, I heard, and the owner is a very rich man, and he has 24 businesses, and you know, he said something so nice. He said, I forgive people before they do mistakes, because they will make mistakes. I don't know if he can live up to his words, but I wanted to say in his own words, in forgiveness, it shows that you mean it, that you have respect for devotees, that you see that they are endeavoring, that they are good people. In forgiveness, love shows its greatness. It shows that it's really there. In the end, I want to speak about what is a grave obstacle for loving relationships. Let me just look at that. Yes, this will be very brief now. Envy. Envy brought us to this world we hear. The way I found out envy is used in Krishna conscious terms is not in the way we use jealousy. What is now this is subtle. We need now some good translation. What is, do you have a difference between, no, do you have two words, envy and jealousy? Can you please say in the sweet local language what is the... Have you understood? Zavist, I know. But the other? Yes. It's very sophisticated. You know, that word. Mm-hmm. Mm. Envy is something very strong in our, the way we use the word. I don't, let us stay in our little circle. The way we, it means, in generally thinking bad or wishing bad for people, or going against someone. Envy is not just that, I'm envious that you danced and your kirtan was better than mine. It doesn't mean just that. It means just not finding any love in the heart or any good feelings for someone. So in the Bhagavatam, there's a very grave thing. This we all suffer from it. You know, there is no... I remember, I will now say something light for... I remember reading about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that once there were two sannyasis in his ashram, in an ashram, who were quarreling all the time. They were really envious on each other. You find this also in modern ISKCON, no? They're really, And so he got them together. Sannyasi A was sitting here. Sannyasi B was sitting here. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sat there on the elevated seat. And he said to Sannyasi A, "We know you're quarreling with Sannyasi B, and the whole ashram is shaking because of this. It is not good for the atmosphere. Now we are here to resolve this. I request you, Sannyasi A, to say something good about Sannyasi B." Nishta, there's nothing. Something. It's not there. In this world, I don't know, he didn't explain it like this, but it can't be that there's nothing good in a person, because we are in a dualistic world. There's always day and night and good and bad. There's always something. Even a murderer hugs his child with some sympathy. He doesn't kill his child. Good. So... the Sannyasi A said, "At least he eats prasadam." Dobro! Dobro! Then Sannyasi B says something good about Sannyasi A. "He He sleeps in a temple. He doesn't sleep in ordinary dwelling places. Very good. Now Sanyasi A. And as they talked about real things, only real things, not empty flattery, that doesn't do the job. The atmosphere, which was so tense, became relaxed. And they could start to work on their differences, clarify them, and then it was all right. This is what I heard or read. I don't know, but I think it's from good sources. At least it makes a point that when there is envy in your heart, which will be there because we are in the material world, try to conquer it with, Patanjali says, a counteracting thought, a different thought. See the good which is there. And you will see how something changes subtly in the atmosphere and the relationship. I want to end by saying how much we must be careful about this. From the 6th canto, 16th chapter, verse 42. It says, how can a religious system that produces envy of one's own self and envy towards others be beneficial for oneself and for others? You know, how can Krishna consciousness be something good if for you and for others, if this envy doesn't leave the heart? This is in the text. What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, you know, being bad about being punishing oneself all the time, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger, Krishna, and practices irreligion. I said, wow, this is strong. What is the benefit if we don't cure this problem which brought us into the world, envy? If we keep this up, whenever you see this enemy rising its ugly head in your own heart, you must be careful, because now your spiritual life is in serious danger. Serious danger, because it's that same thing which got you here into the world. And the best way is, and it really works, to balance it with a different thought, a different type of thought. See the good, touch the good in someone else, and you will see that is good. When I become envious, I always think, oh, wait a minute, Krishna is served here. It's for the glory of Krishna. And this Krishna consciousness movement is not called Satchinandan consciousness. I mean, in a way it could be if we think of the original Satchinandan, but that's besides the point. It's Krishna who is in the center. And if we serve Krishna together, then we should be happy about the things which someone, which devotees do. We should be celebrating the successes of other devotees, because Krishna must be pleased. And when, do you know what? And when Krishna sees that you are pleased because others do even better than you, he thinks, well, this is a real devotee. And he's very satisfied with the devotees. They are, you know, in the 12th chapter of the Gita, there are these qualities which please Krishna, and one is to be non-envious. No? Do it for Krishna. And really, psychologically, it works by putting another counteracting thought in the mind. No? This is why men have called ladies in the past Mataji, because
Mataji means mother, you are my mother. And then men cannot be lusty towards women. How can you be lusty towards your mother? That's really sick, you know. So change the perspective. Put a counterbalancing thought in the mind and your whole attitude will change. My dear devotees, we are in the Balkans. I think you do not like this word. In the previous Yugoslavia, at a crucial point, a very crucial point, we have to think about these subjects. Loving association amongst devotees, generating a positive energy amongst devotees. We have to start talking responsibly about others. Have you heard me?
Yes.
Yeah, if you say no, that wouldn't work. Oh, yeah, but Hare Krishna. I'm sorry. Thank you all very much. Now I want to see if there are questions. We won't be able to take many questions because breakfast is also there, but if there are questions, I would like to see. Bhakti Granta, did I see you? Good. You will get a microphone.
I would like to ask you one of the last points that you have mentioned, that when you were speaking about envy, that also self-envy always punishing yourself. And how does it work and why it appear and how to counteract it?
Yes. I had to think about it because one doctor had told me after I could not recover from surgery and was just coming each day closer to the end, he said, "My dear Mr. Monk, you better start taking care of yourself. You are too... you are too punishing with yourself." And I thought, oh no, come on, this, I know this, love yourself and all this wishy-washy thing from the New Age scene, not for me. Then I was very surprised to read in the, it's a collection of, please help me, of quotes of Srila Bhakti, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Is it Amrit? Something. It's. What? No, there is a. Yeah, Amritavani, maybe? That is, I think, the book of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's collected quotes. But it's. I don't know the title now. It's available on the ISKCON market, this book. There I read, the affirmation, it sounded like affirmation, I will love Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will love my spiritual master, I will love, what was it, the Gayatri mantras, etc., etc. You know, things where the mind should be positively placed on. And then it ended, "And I will also love myself because I'm on the path of Krishna consciousness." Oops, what is that? I was severely challenged. I had never heard this in a lecture, nor had I thought about it. And I needed to do some research. What is it? A wrong translation, maybe? Or I should be at ill at ease with myself, shouldn't I? I should be thinking of my mistakes and correct them. Who will correct them otherwise? It was a long, long process. And I believe it is something, I can only say how I understand this. If you focus all the time on the negative things, which are not yet going well in your life, you will be giving that strength. Why don't you focus on your opportunities? You are now a devotee, you are initiated, you have the opportunities to chant and give yourself a little bit good japa. You know, that is love yourself, no? allow yourself to engage in devotional service, selfless devotional service. That is love yourself, because you self are not the body, you are the soul. Overcome your skeptical nature and try to have meaningful association with devotees, and in this way do something good to yourself and love yourself. No? Love means do something good for yourself. This is how I understand it. And in this way your shift will turn from darkness to light, and if the light is increased, the darkness decreases. I'm not advocating here that we should not endeavor, that we should to correct the bad things in us. I'm only saying let us concentrate more on the positive Krishna conscious things which we can do, because that will really help ourselves grow. You won't come out of this world by finding faults with yourself all the time. You will come out of this world by not thinking of yourself so much, but thinking of Krishna, because that is what the real self within is liking. Good. I think because we are hungry now, it is 13 minutes past 9. Oops. I thank you very much. Wait. Two things. I can't do this from this seat. I want to just say, I worked very... I'm not a good writer, but this book is taking Prabhupada's statements and our traditions on how to chant with absorption. It's called The Living Name. It's very rare because it's always out of print, but we have 50 copies, I hear. 40, enough. There are not so many interested in here. Hare Krishna. I know you know. So it's a guide to chanting with absorption. If you want, Hemagori has copies, 11 o'clock, on 11 o'clock. Fine, another thing is, Prabhus, I really lost something which is very important for me. The book is called Japa. It is written by Burijan Prabhu. I think I lost it in the temple, so if anyone saw it, please give it back. I'm willing to send you another copy of the book. Why do you laugh? This is reality. I'm willing to give you, but this copy has notes and so on. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.